There's a verse in the Bible that I find kind of funny. It's Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Let me look at the time. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, Moses was a very humble man. In fact, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth. And I find it funny because if you believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, then Moses wrote this about himself. So Moses was giving himself a little bit of a pat on the back, calling out his humbleness. And, you know, to be honest, I like to think of myself as a pretty humble man. I'm not Moses, but, you know, top 10, maybe something, top 7, something along those lines. And I'm not trying to humble brag over here. I have plenty of faults and plenty of weaknesses in my life. But to be honest, I've just never, that's not an area in life that I really struggle with. I've never been somebody who's crazy prideful. I've always found value in being humble and humility. And so I was thinking about the message for tonight and thinking about Thanksgiving and gratitude and contentment with all that God has given us. And that's kind of the direction that I started to go in. My natural instinct was to go towards just speaking about contentment and gratitude and Thanksgiving. And as I was preparing and thinking and praying and meditating, it didn't sit right with me. Like it just didn't sit right with me. And I remembered an old sermon from, I think it was George Whitfield or something, something about unpossessed possessions. And it was from 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 3, if you want to put it up on the screen. And if you have your Bibles, if you want to open them up to the passage in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 3, where it's King Jehoshaphat of Judah goes up to King Ahab of Israel. And they have this meeting. And as they're having this meeting, King Ahab says to his servants the following. He says, the king of Israel had said to his servants, don't you know that Ramoth Gilead is ours? But we're not doing anything to take it from the king of Aram or the king of Syria. And Ramoth Gilead was this city on the eastern side of the Jordan. It was in the land allotted to the tribe of Gad, and it was an important fortress, an important city, an important stronghold. But as the years and decades and centuries had gone by, now the kingdom of Syria went in, conquered Ramoth Gilead, and took it away from the kingdom of Israel. And this had been the situation, the status quo for many, many years now. And King Ahab says to his servants, he says, don't you know that this city, that this fortress belongs to us? And yet we're not doing anything to get it back. And the reality is that just as Israel had this territory that technically belonged to them, yet they were not in possession of this territory, we as Christians, we have certain territories that we possess. Large tracts of unannexed territory, unattained possibilities, and unenjoyed blessings that belong to us, brothers and sisters. They belong to you. They belong to every single Christian man and every single Christian woman because they have been given to us by God himself. And yet, even though they belong to us, we are not in possession of them. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. This is what I feel that God put on my heart. As we heard this morning from Pastor David, being thankful is critically important. And when we are not thankful, when we don't have gratitude for everything, we are walking in sin. And we are even stifling the Holy Spirit from working in our lives when we don't walk in gratitude, when we don't walk in thankfulness. And it's funny that here in America, you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's a national holiday. And as soon as you're done thanking God for everything that he's given you, it's Black Friday and it's like, go get more stuff, right? Be thankful for what you have and go get more stuff now. But you know what? In a way, they're not wrong. At least spiritually speaking, they're not wrong. Because I think we as Christians, a lot of times we fall into this trap of being content to our own detriment. We're content to our own detriment. We hang back. We live in this false humility sometimes, in this over-hyped, over-accentuated humility to where we don't even go after the things that God tells us that belong to us. We don't even take possession of the promises and of the blessings that God has for us. And we see that in Christian lives all over the place. And I feel this deep within me, brothers and sisters. I feel this deep within me that we as a church, as Emmanuel Church, and as families and as individuals, if you find yourself here tonight, I believe that we are not in a season of contentment. So, but hear me out. Again, we should be grateful. We should be thankful. We should give glory to God for the bounty that he has blessed us with. And as far as physical, material possessions are concerned, though, you know what? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. And even there, you know, there's room for more, right? Like we as Christians, sometimes we say that, you know, money is evil and possessions are evil. Money is not evil. The Bible says that the love of money is evil, right? If you desire to have an increase in possessions, in material blessings in your life, so that you can do good, so that you can bless others, so that you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God, then I see nothing wrong with that, brothers and sisters. But for tonight, let's be thankful to everything that God has given us, materially speaking. But what I'm talking about right now specifically is spiritual blessings. And when we talk about spiritual blessings and walking in spiritual victory, I want to say no. I want to say no, brothers and sisters. Let's not be content. Let's not be content. Let's call on the Lord for more. Let's look to the Lord for more. Let's ask the Lord for more blessings. We see that every Christian experiences this to one extent or another. And let me mention just a few of the blessings that we can enjoy, some of the possessions that God says that we have that are ours, and yet we don't see ourselves walking in them or taking full possession of them. First of all, it's peace, right? We have John chapter 14, verse 27, that says, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And by the way, he said this to a group of men that were going to be persecuted and martyred, right? Most of them ended their lives in a very brutal fashion. They were martyred for the sake of Jesus Christ. But he's saying to them, to these people that were going to go die, be crucified, be sawn in half, be thrown to animals, he said, I'm giving my peace. I'm leaving my peace with you. This is something that you have. This is something that I'm making available to you. And the thing is that we have this as inheritors, as men and women who stand in that grand tradition of the disciples, of the apostles. We are inheritors of this peace that Jesus Christ gives us. And it's a peace that is not subject to circumstances. So we have peace, yet why are we so troubled? Why do we look around and we find ourselves losing our peace so easily and so often? We get bad news politically, economically. We get personal bad news. Maybe it's financial situations or health issues or something, and we lose our peace. We have peace when things are going well, and when we're going through difficult times, all of a sudden we lose that peace. But Jesus says, you know what? The peace that I give you, Like the peace that I gave to the apostles is not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on what's happening around you. This is something that you can take a hold of, take possession of, no matter what is happening in your life or to you. The second thing is power. Acts chapter 1 verse 18 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." This is in the context of going out and witnessing and preaching the word of God and preaching the gospel to the nations. He says, you will receive power. But how many of us are walking in that power? How many of us have a fruitful evangelical life, witnessing life, where we go and we win people, men and women, to Christ? How many of us are walking in the power that Jesus Christ made available for us, or authority? In Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, he says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe." Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? It says, "These things will accompany those who believe." So if you're one of these believers, this should apply to you. This should apply to me. "In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. And if they should drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well." So we have authority to drive out demons, Jesus says, to speak in new tongues, to face deadly situations and not be harmed, to heal the sick. So how many of us are walking in this authority that God has given us? Unpossessed possessions, unpossessed blessings, unpossessed promises that God gives us. And we could spend hours and hours going through the scripture one by one of the promises that God says about us, of who he says we are in him, of the truths and the realities that should accompany believers. These are just some. So we see that we have this strange, almost inexplicable contentment with not possessing the things that God said that we possess, that we own. And there are a couple of reasons why this is probably true. If there are possessions out there, if there are blessings and promises of God out there that you have, that I have not taken a hold of, there are probably a couple reasons. One, maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's just flat out ignorance. The king of Israel said to his servants, he said, "Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead is?" He said, "Yeah, years have passed. Decades have passed maybe since we lost this city, since the enemy took it from us. Long time has passed. Maybe you forgot. Maybe a new generation has been born and you don't even realize that this is something that belongs to you." Maybe it's ignorance. And there are millions of Christians who don't realize that their life could be any different than it is right now. That life could be any different than the way they're living right now. They've been so used to the loss of territory, the loss of blessing, the loss of promises, that they think this is the status quo, this is the normal, this is how things should be, this is the way things just are. And they hope for a future in which God restores everything in heaven, but they have no hope for walking victoriously here and now. The second reason is laziness. Maybe it's not ignorance, maybe it's laziness. Maybe you know, maybe I know, maybe we know. We know that these are the things that God said that we can grab a hold of, but it's just, you know, we're comfortable. We're comfortable Christians, especially here in the West. Life is so good for us. We get little hints of persecution here and there, little hints of the tide turning against the freedoms that we have enjoyed. But nothing at all like what's happening in Syria or to the Christians in Iraq and the rest of the Middle East or in other parts of the world. And we are just, we're comfortable, and we don't want to give up that comfort. We don't want to rock the boat. We know, we understand that things would be better. We know that these are, man, I want that peace. Jesus said I could have that peace no matter what circumstance I find myself in. I have this authority. I have this power to walk and to witness to people. But man, that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to walk up to a stranger and to just start telling them about Jesus. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to believe that I have the authority. Better let the pastor do it. Better let the leader of my department take care of it. And we're comfortable. We're comfortable and we don't want to give up that comfort. And just like the Israelites, they knew that it belonged to them. But they didn't want to go to war. War is hard, right? People get hurt. People die. Better, you know what, let's just tend to our farms. Let's just take care of what's left. Let's just, you know, take care of the things that are left, that are remaining. Let's not get out of our comfort zone and go after the things that we possess that the enemy took from us. And again, that contentment is sometimes a form of false piety that many of us Christians experience. And brothers and sisters, we use Christianity as an excuse. We use it as an excuse. We abuse Christianity as an excuse to not do hard things. But I know what my Bible says. And I know what my Lord Jesus says about me and about us. And I know what the Bible says about the church and what's available to us. And I know that in James chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "You have not because you ask not. But if you asked, you would have." That's the implication. You can have if you ask. You can have if you stop scrolling and get on your knees and start asking for the Lord for those blessings that you've been after. Asking for the Lord for the blessings that you feel have been missing from your life. Or Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But the key over there is I can do. It takes doing. It takes action. It takes Christians getting up, standing up, and going into battle. I can do all things through Christ. Yes, Christ strengthens us. Yes, Christ gives us the strength. But we have to do. We have to get up. We have to go after it. Or in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says, "No weapon formed against me will prosper." I know that no matter what I undertake in the name of the Lord, if it's according to his will, there is no weapon that the devil can form against me that will prosper because the Lord protects me when I'm in his will. Amen? So maybe it's laziness, this contentment, this false piety. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know. I know what it is for me a lot of times. But maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, it's not that big of a deal, right? It's not that big of a deal. These are, like, we have the essentials, right? Like, we believe in Jesus. We believe in the atoning sacrifice. We believe in the power of his blood to wash of sins. We believe, you know, we're saved by grace, not by works. We believe all these things. So, you know, if I'm missing a blessing, if I'm missing a promise here and there, it's not that big of a deal. But it's actually very serious, brothers and sisters. And there's that story about Esau in Genesis chapter 25, selling his birthright. And you know what it says, that Jacob and Esau were brothers, but they were very different. It says that Esau was this manly man who liked to go out hunting, and Jacob just kind of stayed home and liked to do, you know, things in the kitchen. He was like a cook or a chef or something. And it says that one day when Esau went to go hunting, he came back famished. He was hungry. And there's Jacob in the kitchen making some lentil stew. And Esau says, "Quick, I'm about to die. I'm so hungry. Give me some of that soup." And Jacob says, "I'll give you some of my soup if you sell me your birthright." And Esau, Was he gonna? I'm sure he wasn't gonna die. I'm sure he could have gone to tent number two in that little complex and gotten a piece of bread or something. But it says that Esau said, "Okay, fine, I'll sell you my birthright. Just give me some of that soup." So they made the exchange. And then this is what it says about Esau in chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 34. It says that Jacob gave bread and lentil stew to Esau. He ate, he drank, he got up and went his way. But this is the summary of that verse. He says, "So Esau despised his birthright." Despised his birthright. And we read that passage, and a lot of times we think, man, foolish Esau, right? How foolish of this man to give up his birthright for some nothing bowl of soup, right? What a foolish man. Because the birthright wasn't just some land and some cattle and some sheep that he was going to inherit. It wasn't just that. It was about being in the line of the Messiah. It was about inheriting this blessing that the Savior, that the Messiah, that the Savior of the world would come through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and eventually Jacob. This was the birthright that he was giving up. So he was saying, you know what, I don't care about that. I don't care about the Messiah. I don't care about the promise. What I care most about is this immediate need that I have. And Esau despised his birthright. And we make fun of him and we judge him and we call him a fool. Yet so many of us, brothers and sisters, are living in the exact same way. Our birthright isn't some land in Israel. It's not some head of cattle or a flock of sheep. Our birthright is what is listed out, outlined for us in Scripture. The promises and the blessings of God, these are our birthright. And by living the way so many of us do, we are despising our birthright when we don't go after the promises that God made available to us. So it's a serious thing. And ultimately what we need to do is to wake up and to take possession of these things that God says belong to us. We need to take possession of what is ours, what belongs to us by the word of God, according to the word of God. Again, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 3, the king of Israel said that we're doing nothing to take back. We're doing nothing to take back the city that belongs to us. And that is what we as Christians need to do. We need to take back and take hold of the promises and the blessings that God made available to us. And the first thing that we need to do is to realize that they are gifts. That these promises and these blessings are gifts. Gifts of God. These are not something that we have earned. These promises and these blessings are not something that, you know what, I've reached this spiritual level, I've been good enough, and now the Lord has to reward me with these things. No, these are God's gifts to us. These are gifts that he makes freely available to men and women who put their faith in him. It's not something that we earn by our goodness or by our faithfulness. It's not that. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on God. They are God's gifts. And this is what Philippians chapter 4, 19, verse 19 says. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? So he says, how many of our needs will God supply? All of our needs. So if there's a health need in your family or in your life, God can supply that need. Amen? If there's a financial or material need in your life and in your family, God can supply that need. Amen? If there's a relational restoration need somewhere in you or in your family, God can supply that need. Amen? If there's a spiritual need, whatever it is, God can supply that need. But I love how he ends this verse. He says, he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So they must be in Christ Jesus. These needs that we're talking about are not for selfish gain. It's not just because I want a better job or a bigger house or because I want to be more successful or because I want this and that to add to my collection of things. No, it's in Christ Jesus. If these things are things that I'm pursuing so that I can glorify God through them, if they're in Christ, then yes, God will supply all of our needs, and they are given to us again as gifts by God. But not only are they gifts, but they must be taken by the Christian. So the second part is that they must be taken. The first part is they're gifts that are made available to you and to me. But the second part is that you and I, as Christians, we need to take them. We need to get a hold of them. November has become a pretty busy month in our family. We have a ton of birthdays now. Hannah, Flavio and Tita's daughter, her birthday's on the 13th. My son Caleb's birthday is on the 16th. My daughter Sarai's birthday is on the 17th. It's just like one after another. So we've been doing a lot of birthday parties and a lot of gift giving. And you guys know how it works, right? Like you take the box and you bring it to the birthday boy or the birthday girl and you say, Hannah, Caleb, Sarai, this is for you. And the next thing that happens is they reach out their hands and they grab a hold of the gift and they take it and they open it, right? How awkward would it be if you went to somebody's birthday party and you brought them a gift and you went up to them and you said, hey, Bob, Mary, Sue, this is for you. And they just sat there with their arms by their sides and they said, oh, thank you. Can I have it? And you said, yes, I'm giving it to you. Here it is. Okay, thank you. Please give it to me. No, I'm giving it to you. Just take it. And they did nothing. They didn't move an inch to grab a hold of that present that you brought them. And this is exactly reflective of what we do so many times. We see these gifts that God says belong to us, that he is giving to us freely. And we're the ones who are not taking hold of them. They are God's gifts to us, not because we're good, because he's good. And we say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want that. And God says, here you go. And then we don't take hold of them. So the first step is to realize that these are gifts. The second step is to take possession of them. But how do we do that? How do we take possession of these gifts that God is giving us? One thing that we need to do is, like I said at the beginning, is we need to set aside a little bit this false humility, this false sense of humility that many of us walk around with as Christians. We like to be humble, and it's a good trait to have, but not when it comes to this situation over here. We need to set aside that false sense of humility. And I challenge you and I urge you, the next time you're reading through scripture, open up the Bible. And the Bible is about who? It's about Jesus Christ, right? The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament points back to what Jesus did for us, right? Everything is about Jesus Christ. But it's not just about Jesus, because of a lot of what the Bible says is about you and me, about what I need to do, about what I need to stay away from, about things that are sinful, about things that God expects of me. It's about me. It's about you. But there are also a lot of things that are promises and blessings that are specifically made for you. So this is my challenge to you. The next time you open up your Bible and you're flipping through them, focus. Train your eyes to look for, when does it speak about you, brothers and sisters? When does it speak? And when it speaks about you, what does it say about you? Not what you feel about yourself, not what you think about yourself, not what you believe you are capable of, but what does God say about you? What does God say about who you are? What does God say about who he made you to be, brother and sister? And once you do that, once you're aware, once you understand that that scripture is speaking to you and about you, the next thing you do is you receive them. You receive these truths. You receive these verses. You receive these passages. You receive this word of God that is for you. You receive it. You take it in. And what you do is you pray. You say, Lord, if this passage, I'm not just reading this verse out of context, I'm reading the verses above and below, I'm reading the paragraph that it's in, I'm reading the chapter that it, Lord, if I've done all that, and this passage is speaking about your children, and I am one of your children, then this passage is speaking about me. It's speaking about me personally. It's for me personally. So Lord, I receive it. I take it. I might not understand it. I might not see it, but Lord, what I can do is I can believe it. I can believe it and say, Lord, if you spoke it, if you declared it, then I receive it, Lord. I believe it. This is for me. This is what I'm taking. And so my challenge for us tonight, as we go through this and end this Thanksgiving holiday and Thanksgiving week, I urge us, yes, let's continue to be thankful. Let's continue to be grateful to the Lord for every blessing that he's poured out to us. His mercies are new for us every single morning, the word of God says. Amen? The mercies of the Lord are renewed. Every single morning when you wake up, there's a fresh batch. There's a fresh outpouring of the mercies and blessings of God over you and over your family, over Emmanuel Church. We have much to be grateful for, much to be thankful for. But let's not stop there. And when it comes to spiritual blessings, brothers and sisters, I urge you and I challenge you, let's have a righteous zeal for more. Amen? Let's have a righteous zeal for more and pray to God and say, Lord, I want more. I want more. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the blessings in my life. But I want more. I want more of you. I want more of your presence. I want more of your spirit in my life. And Lord, for me, for my family, for my church, I want victory. I want to walk in victory in the next life, but here in this life as well. And may God help us to do that. Amen.